Blog Talk Radio.
Family, greetings and hotel. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omi Inca 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome you this evening on a Sunday. That's right, this is a rescheduled show from our Saturday show. We were not able to be with you on Saturday, so this is one of the makeup shows for the Saturday series, and our series is on startup businesses. We didn't want to deter from continuing the business talk. We wanted to keep right up with the momentum, so we brought you back a rescheduled show, family. That's just how much we thought about being with you. We like to welcome our old friends by saying Habari Ghani and saying what's up to our new friends, and come right in and have a seat because our chat rooms are open. And for those of you who would like to frequent our chat rooms, you can do so. You can go in and post your statements, ask questions, or what have you, and even possibly co-host the show in the chat room if you like. Just give me an email or let me know you'd like to be a part of our chat room. And we'd like to also ask you to lock that number in at 646-478-0270. Lock it in, little G. I said keep it right there. Keep it right there. And don't make a move. We like to send a shout out to our friends at the other radio station on Harambe radio station by saying, go ahead on Harambe, 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 Harambe. Go ahead on, Delani Aman. Keep up the good work and your crew, too. And we like to say thank you to Blog Talk Radio Show for letting us have a part on these airwaves. We like to thank you, Blog Talk, for allowing us to be on these airwaves. And we also like to say to you, Habari Ghani, and thank you for pulling together with the African Americans to allow us to be able to come on this show unmolested, unharmed, able to speak to our congregation and to speak to our people on this show, rather. And I'd like to say this. The reason why I say to speak to our family is because so many times most shows are not directed primarily at African Americans. They're usually directed at them only when there is a marketing media issue, when they're trying to coerce or condition or brainwash and deter them to do something extraordinary like going shopping and spending. But we're on these airways primarily to educate our family. And not to say that the Caucasians won't be educated, because we do intend for you to have updated information as well. And today we're going to be bringing you some updated information. And that updated information in the entertainment business might be quite new to you, Caucasians, because of the fact that you've been primarily involved with the media and conditioning our people to the media. So we want to unbrainwash our people today about the entertainment business and explain to them just what is going on and what the real business is, the naked, the butt-naked truth about entertainment and the glamour. We want to take some of the glamour out of it and make it into a business so that we're not all striving for the same thing. You got so many young little brothers out here trying to be a part of the drum lab. They want to learn how to make beats. They want to be a part of the lab beat center, and they want to be able to market their beats so they can sell them. We're going to be talking about the beat-making lab business and how people are taking this to the extreme by taking this whole concept abroad to Africa, all in the name of setting up institutions overseas in these lab facilities. And when they call them lab, it's truly an experiment. How many of these young people are getting paid for their work and their creation? And if they do go platinum and they hit the chart, who gets the benefit of it? And is American people taking advantage of these young brothers and sisters who we know are automatically creative, and they're probably teaching us something about beats, because Africans truly were the ones who created the beat. And let's listen to the beat right now, because we know the drum beat ownership comes out of Africa. There's no doubt about it. I play the drums every time we come in here. This belongs to Africa. Like it or not, this is their drum beat. And we have to understand that we're not giving them anything new, but we're inventing what they already know. Listen to the drum beat. Regurgitate the sound and the frequency of the beat. That beat belongs to Africa. Make no mistakes about it. It is not authenticated. It is not created here from authenticity from a United States of America. It is from Africa. That is a beat of the people's heartbeat, and they can carry that beat wherever they go. And it's in their loins. It's in their medulla oblongata. They can recreate it. So what are you saying, Omi? I'm saying that there's a whole tactic now to take universities and laboratories abroad to create these drum labs and these beat labs overseas in Africa. And one in particular we're going to be talking about, and what's going on with that beat lab and how we can create those beat labs right here in the United States of America for our own youth, so we could develop them into being the next generation that runs these studios and that will give us a chance to better ourselves in making music. And ladies and gentlemen, I would like to stop to acknowledge our higher self first, because I know we get a little carried away sometimes with our guests and our speakers, and we get right into the discussion. We don't want to forget about our ancestors. We'd be a damn fool if we forgot about our ancestors. So we want to take some time to go over to the throne of grace. If you'll go over with me, I certainly appreciate it. Now, if you've got your altar set up, and ladies and gentlemen, make no mistakes about this. This is no secrecy. And Caucasian, I'm even asking you to even stand by and watch what we do. Because as we train, know that this is part of our ancestorship, our rituals that we must keep intact. And not because I'm a Christian, not because I'm Yoruba, but because I'm an African first. The question here today is to be or not to be African, and I choose to be African in order to give higher praise to my Africanism, I must acknowledge my ancestors, not because of my religion. My religion doesn't mean a hill of beans, because out of my culture comes my religion. If I don't know my culture, then I don't have a religion. And I'm not religiosity. I told you I'm salubrious diversity, meaning that I am Christian, because I'm one who crystallized myself in Christ. I am Islamic. I am one who submits to Allah. I am African spiritualist because I believe in the ancestors. I am Buddhism because I believe in Buddha and I meditate on the word. So I am all things to all people because I am salubrious diversity, meaning that I can embrace any denomination and find truth within their denomination. And if we embrace each other in that manner, we do not have to worry about being sliced and diced and continually segregated and divided amongst all of our people. Now, there's a thing going on in the universe, and I must say this. We have taken a turn for a new universe. We have gotten on a path where we're having our brains balanced, and we're looking at our relationship with our higher selves, with the Godheads who live within inside of us. I didn't say outside of us. I didn't say a God up in heaven. I didn't say a God down in hell, but a God within us. We are now balancing our own medulla oblongata, and we're now looking at the hemisphere of our own frontal lower globe of our brain atmosphere, understanding that this urgency that we felt in the past to wobble and not to be balanced, we are now balancing ourselves and getting a better understanding of where and what we are in this earth. Make no mistakes about it, African Americans and Africans, you are gods. Ye are God's little children, and ye have overcome the world because you were brought here in the form of a god. I was created to remind you that you were always gods, and that because you were gods, you were intended to create something greater than the cell phone, something more miraculous than a tablet. We were brought here for a special reason. Everyone else knows that we're gods but ourselves. Everyone else knows that the black melanin in our body is valuable but us. We depreciate the value of melanin in our body. We don't even realize that the melatonin gives us sweet, deep delta rest that everyone aspires to have. Do you not know that there is not a byproduct in a black man or woman that can be disposed of? Even our very skin, people want to secrete the melanin out of our skin because they live and grow younger and renew themselves through our melanin. Our melanin is what we ought to be focusing in on. Don't depreciate it because you're a darker skin or darker brother or sister. It is something that will protect you and that will preserve you. The melanin makes you the God. You are able to recreate. You have a soul. You have a being. Every one of us was not created with a soul. We might be a spirit, but all of us were not created with a soul. Some of us lack the soul man experience. Some of us lack the soul, period, and aspire to know what it means to be a soul man or woman. So raise your voices and lift your glasses today, African Americans. You must learn who you are and quit waiting for someone to tell you that you're an African American. American. American has nothing to do with your culture. Your heritage is one thing, but your culture comes from Africa. And out of it comes a civilization that civilized the world. You ought to know who you are. You ought to understand that your ancestors turn over in their very grave when you don't remember who they are. But when you take the time out of your schedule to call and remember their names, it is up to the living to stay in contact with the dead. It is up to us to remind ourselves how great our ancestors are. And sisters, let me say something to you. You must understand that this war that we're in, that they war not against flesh and blood, and you war not against flesh and blood, but principalities and high places. And because you are dealing with a principality, you go to your rituals, you go to your ancestorship, and you ask your ancestors to fight for you. They will fight for you into the end time, and the very core of your belly is where you use your skills to war. And your groanings and moanings and your strength is in your core. Do not look as if you have no weaponry. Your weaponries are not carnal through the pulling down of strongholds. You are mighty and powerful in the war. You are mighty and powerful in your ability to call on the ancestors. They will show up at the front line and fight for you. Fear not, I say. You are not alone. That is why I call myself Omiyinka and the tribe. There's a tribe of ancestors that present themselves with me everywhere I go. And they will fight to the end for me because they know I'm the sum total of why they're here. And they will stand guard as a watchman on the wall. And you must remember that. We are in a war now. Like it or not, we're in a war, and we must hold up our weaponry to let those who want to perpetrate, who want to infiltrate, know that they've got a war on their hands. Because we have never declared war on anyone, but African Americans have been declared war on all over the world. And we must stand guard, women. We must understand that we're the true warriors and that they don't want to mess with us because we will bring down the nation. And you must understand that even though your men are locked away, you are still preserved with the ancestors standing with you. So you can't kill a person whose time has come. You will make them into a martyr. And if you try to oust them out, the spirits will rise up. And spirits that rise up that will protect a people. You don't want to see a war in your hand that's greater than the Civil War. Because, see, what is happening now is that people are messing with black folks to the point of taking their livelihood, their jobs, and their houses. We're not going to stand for it. We're going to cry loud and lift up our voices and call on the ancestors, and they will come, and they will pick us up, and they will make us strong. And they will be the ones who will take this earth to a new level of dispensation. Make no mistakes about it. We are very rightfully protected and rightly guided. So therefore, I call on those ancestors today, the ones whose names I do not even know, the ones who might still be in the middle passage, the ones who still might be coming through the miry clay. I call those unknowing ancestors to the forefront, to guard as a watchman on the wall. I call them today because women all over the world are having to step forward with our powers and with our Ashe, because our Ashe has been lended to us by the ancestors. Because they know that men are locked away, but that does not mean that we are not warriors. We are truly warriors in the flesh. So we call on those great ancestors. I call on Clara McJenkins with the spirit that she has. I call on Robert Jenkins with his spirit. I call on George Lilly. I call on Sam Lilly. I call on Eugene Lilly. I call on Tommy Pete Harvey. I call on Michelle Harvey, Michael Harvey. I call on Mary Lou Hawkins. I call on the name of Essalie Pope. I call on the name of Ruby Lee Bracken. I call on Ruby Lilly. I call on these strong ancestors that will come and they will stand guard and they will watch over the situation. I call on our heroes and sheroes. And if you know one, call their name out. Nina Simone that sang that sweetest, goodest song. I call on Jackie Robinson that hit that ball that knocked out oppression. I call on Dr. John Henry Clark and Dr. Jay Carruthers. I call on these strong entities that they might stand strong as a watchman on the wall. And ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, we're still in a struggle. And though these airways may be tapped into, we speak things that be not as though they were. And we speak these things so that those who might be listening might hear what we're saying and know that we mean business. We are not playing with children today. We have put away the things of the childish one because we have grown older as old folks. We're more than a billion years old, and you don't play with grown folks. In the end time, when people are losing their homes and they're losing prosperity and they're losing grip, they will not lose their mind in this latter day time. We'll gain momentum and strength, and we will stay strong because we know in the end time we must not faint because we are ready to receive the prize. We will receive the prize, and we will rule again. Because the scriptures say so. The mutilated book tells us that the Alpha and the Omega, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. It tells us that. And if that wasn't so, then why would such many men write such a thing in the book? So we say today, stand strong. In the end time, women, stand strong. And you must understand that you are not alone as you call on your rituals to strengthen you. And you call on the people that fought for you so feverishly during the end time, and they will continue to fight. So I say, lift up your voices today, and let us pour libation to the east and the west. We pour libation to the east, and we say, Ashe. We pour libation to the west, and we say, Ashe. We pour libations to the north, and we say, Ashe. And finally, we pour libations to the south, and we say, Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, you are to remember your rituals and traditions, and you are to hold fast to them. They are the two things that will give you strength and encouragement in the end time. You must not faint away from those things and think that they're taboo or fetish. You must understand that you're first an African. And if you have anything to do with Americanization, look to find out if you have any land that you can hold on to. That's what makes you an American, the all-American dream that we came here for. And we're still fighting for that. And next week, we'll be bringing in a speaker to talk about how you can fight for your property and for your land. We'll be bringing in an expert for 2 days to talk about those who are going through losing their homes and foreclosures, what they can do and how they can fight to get those homes back. Ladies and gentlemen, as I sit here, I am fighting. I'm fighting for others and myself in the spirit because your home is what makes you all American because you came here for that all American dream, a piece of the apple pie. Get it back, take it back, take it back. If you put all of your earnings into a home, it belongs to you. Fight for it. Fight until you go to the Supreme Court. Fight all the way into the White House if you have to. But fight for it. Because what they have done is a disgrace. And what they have done and been found guilty of is not enough money that they can pay you back to settle with you over the settlement that they have given these 16 banks. You must continue to fight because they won't stop. They've been paid off to stop the war for a little bit. But let them know that they have a real warrior on their hand. Continue to fight them and fight them with power and strength and ask others to align themselves with you. We're bringing in one of the powerhouses next week to speak about how can you fight against a system who's taking your house away or who threatens to take your house away. You have the power within you. You have the power within you. And people have fought and won, and you can too. So don't give up. And we ask that God will look over the universe, will look over the African families who have been despised and who have been spoken down to and who have also been cahooted and bamboozled and things have been stolen away down to their property and their jobs. We ask that the Creator, that the ancestors will look upon these people now and give them favor, and they will give me and my household favor, and look upon the families that are present and represented here today, and give them a victory, and let they cry victory Victory, victory. The Lord has given us victory. Let them cry victory as they gain momentum and obtain their homes back. Father, we ask that you would intercede on behalf of every one of these families who don't have the strength or momentum in them to war anymore, who can't even stand before the jurors and the judge anymore, be able to be an intercessor and stand on their behalf as you assist them and aid them in obtaining their properties back. We thank you for what you've done and what you already did and what you're going to do. And we bless you and we magnify your name and we lift you higher and we say to God be the glory. Ladies and gentlemen, some of you ought to be enraged right now and beside yourself when you hear about your families getting their homes taken away, when you hear about your loved ones having to fight a court system, a jury, when you hear about falsehoods where they have robo-stamped mortgages and don't have the deeds or permission to foreclose, you ought to be enraged right now. You ought to be beside yourself because I am, and I'm concerned. I am so concerned that the lawyers that are in pro bono don't come and assist and show up to aid. I'm calling forth in the spirit every lawyer that has free time on their hand that owes me for the work that I've done for you over the past years in pro bono. I'm calling forth you in the spirit that you will show up and offer your pro bono help to these dear friends and loved ones who are fighting for their homes right now. I'm calling for you and I speak in existence that you will show up and be present and accounted for, that you will offer your service to aid and assist these families who do not know the law and who are fighting for their very property. I will decree a thing. And whatsoever you decree in the spirit, it shall come into pass. And I want to say that to you audience, listening audience, those of you who are in the highways and byways and are still contemplating what you're about to do about that home that was foreclosed on or the one that they threatened to foreclose on, do not be dismayed. There are many fighting with you. We've called the ancestors from the grave to stand up like the watchmen on the wall and to take ownership and assistance of these black families that are going through right now. We've called on these ancestors, and we're going to continue to call on them. It is the only authority and power we have now that we use with relentless ability to call them no matter where we might be locked away. They can be summoned at any moment. So call on your ancestors, Eli. Call on your ancestors. They will come, and they will pick you up, and they will make you strong. And in the end time, no one will, a force won't even be able to reckon with you because you're standing strong with a force that they can't see. And we want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for going along with us on that talking cure. And I had to give that prayer out because there's many suffering today, many suffering. Now let's go back to our topic. We've been talking about businesses and opportunities on entertainment. And how do you establish yourself when you're in the entertainment business? Now, most of you know that I've been an entertainer and performed overseas as an entertainer on tour. However, when I came back to the States, I have not been practicing being an entertainer. I'm just beginning to put together formalized poetry books and CDs of my poetry. However, in the time that I've been establishing myself with the poetry business and spoken word, I do aspire to also sing again. However, this is a very, very difficult business, and it is very, very time-consuming. What I will tell you is that there are some entities to help you in your line of work if you will sign up with them, as most of you have heard me talk about Reverse Nation. They are one of the best organizations out there to help you establish your apps and to establish your presence and be able to create a tour guide of some of the facilities that they have listed that they invite artists to be a part of, some for a fee that are free. that will allow you to establish you an itinerary of places you can perform and places you can go to exploit your work. I do say that you need to have something structured like an itinerary and possibly even have a manager to help you navigate through your trips. And there are many materials out there to help the novice nowadays. And if you want to have a business that is visible, you might want to give away a few of your singles, like I do. I give away singles of my poetry, and my writing is what is important to me, and we have to look at how do we copyright our material. And there are two different copyrights out there now if you're copyrighting your written material that you want to preserve for yourself. You ought to get involved with not only Reverse Nation, but other organizations like The Clouds has an actual avenue that you can also post your work. But your copyrights, you want to understand how to license your material and how to get your things protected so that you're not exposing all of your materials to someone who can take custody of your material. Being an entertainer doesn't mean that you have got to leave everything up to your manager. You have to still know what's going on. Now, when you're an entertainer, you don't have to be performing all the time. But it is good to be able to be on a moonlighting trip where you can perform occasionally to keep your skills up. There are a number of different places that you could go to find out about your studio and how to get your studio set up. And one of them is the guitar facility where they actually have all the tools and equipment that you need to establish yourself in setting up your studio and making sure that you have the necessary high-tech material where if you need to upload your CDs, you could do it directly from your terminal. And if you upload a CD, you need not have a jewel case or packaging. And some places would allow you to upload your material right online, and they will distribute it in a download for customers. That is a good way of going if you want to get your work out there on iTunes and on other places like Amazon. But it's very important that you must understand that all this has to be structured. It's taken me a lot longer because I have got to make sure that I can relinquish the rights to my work to someone else. And until I feel comfortable with that, I'll continue to take my snail time in completing these things on my own. As you know, I'm working with developing some work for Nina Simone. So I've been working very feverishly to develop that to get into the studio because that is a prize project that I have desired to do and to do it as soon as I can. I don't know when and what the date is on that, but I do desire to do a whole tradition of Nina Simone, her work, and the type of work she attempted to do here in the movement for Black African Americans. And as I work on that, in between that, I have some individual writings that I've done my own that I would like to display. So it's kind of hard to choose between someone else's work and your own. But it's very important to stay focused in on creating your own creative work. And as you create your own creative work, the door will be open for you to be able to present or to allow someone to recite your written work. And it's very important to know that being a writer and having written work, you must understand that just holding on to it will not give you the visibility you need, but you must find a venue where you can present your work and feel safe that it's copywritten and that somebody can recite it. Now, let's talk a little bit about, we talked about the drum beat, and I would like to talk to you about developing a track where you have your music mixed. My area of expertise is in the writing area. I do not mix music, and I'm just learning how to mix the tracks for the music and layer the music. So therefore, it would be necessary for me to go to an expert who knows what they're doing. And this is where a lot of youngsters are developing a skill and a knack for developing beats, and they are mixers. They are master mixers, and they've learned the equipment very well and learned how to layer the music and the sounds and the instrument. You need not even have a band or buy instruments, because on some of the software you buy now, it is equipped to have all of the instruments. You just need to know how to put your tone and your pitch and layer the music so that you have background music. And that is what I have been lacking for fear of not knowing the technology. I'm trying to become better accustomed to the technology. I spent some time with a technician this weekend learning more about how to upgrade my studio so that I can lay some of those tracks within my studio and do my own mixing. Now, that is going to be a challenge for me because I'm not a technician. However, I would like to say to you who are trying to develop this, there is software available. Now, let me talk a little bit about the labs that are going overseas to Africa from universities who are bringing in the Beat Lab, and they are under a grant to assist these young people. I think it's a great idea to want to help assist our African Americans, to assist our Africans, but we have to be very careful we don't Americanize them too quick, and that we don't just throw them regurgitated material enough so that they can create these large projects and then hand them over to the university who is exploiting the young people. They must give these young people full credit. They must properly copyright their material, and they must allow them to come to the United States to perform this material. They must give them full leeway with their music, and they must not take advantage of the raw young talent. And they must also help those institutes to stay intact and get funding that will continue those institutes once they leave Africa. Now, they're all over Africa now, and it's one of the biggest things. The best place to go where there's already funding through African governments is in these beat labs, and they're coming with their backpacks and their speakers and their drum beats. Now, these drum beats are something that I think are great. And for you teachers who are looking to work with some programs, I'm working with a program this summer for young people that will learn music theory. And not only music theory, they will learn it in a fun way. And then they will be able to go into the drum beats so that they can begin to make their own beats. And I'm working with a drummer who teaches drumming, but at the same time, we're looking at a small group of people, like maybe five. So for you music teachers, you ought to be creating some programs locally here in the United States for our black children who need to come off the streets and who need to use their energies wisely, because they truly have a gift in the area of music. Did you not know that African Americans have one octave level higher than any other race of people that they can hear in the music realm that no other race can hear? That makes us unique. Our melanin allows us to hear this, and I don't care, Caucasian, if you're listening to me. If you're white, you can't hear this level or octave of music. No other race can hear it. It's an octave level higher than normally the 12 octave levels that we go. However, you knew about it before we did. We didn't even believe we could do this. But now that the cat is out the hat, black children know that they're automatically gifted in rhythm, in tonation, in sound, in music. It was a gift for me. I have three other people in my family that were gifted. My mother, my aunt, and my uncle were all singers who had the ability to harmonize and sing. My uncle made his life living from singing and playing the harmonica. It was a natural gift. Most Africans are given this gift, and we have the gift laying dormant in some of us, and we don't utilize it. How is it possible? It's because of the melanin in the body. the melanin that gives you the ability to have a frequency level that vibrates. Now, music is more rhythm and pitch and being able to count minutes and time and being able to count the rhythm. So any song that you hear, you can tie it into your spirit and reproduce it word for word and rhythm for rhythm. So therefore, music is a natural thing for Africans. This is probably the best business you can go into. I didn't realize it until I went to Europe. It was just a hobby for me in the United States. I sang occasionally with my other 10 sisters, and we sang all over Indiana and performed on many stages. We didn't think it was a profession that would pay us. Not until I went to Europe to teach a graduate, to teach a college-level course, was I offered the opportunity to audition to be one of the soloists or be one of the songstress in a group called the Jackson Singers. Because I've had it in my spirit for a long time, I was able to audition right there on the scene for the position, and I was fortunate enough to be granted a contract. Now, that doesn't ordinarily always happen. But when you've got gospel in you already and you sing repetitively throughout the week and in the church choir, you have a natural gift for singing gospel. Now, my skills needs to be improved. I know because I'm rusty around the edges, and there's techniques that I need to learn and probably need to be under someone's tutelage. There's a lot more that I still need to learn, even at my age now. But when the gift is in you, and you have been given the gift, and if you ordinarily have the ability to move people and you have a spirit where God has given you a special spirit to sing, it will come out through your singing. And that gift is in mostly all African Americans. Whether or not they tend to use it is a different story. So if you're starting a business and you don't have anything to work from, then work from your gifts of your voice. Work from your gifts of your ability to articulate and sing. A lot of us have these gifts that are laying dormant. I'm saying to you, in your effort to develop yourself, you certainly want to find an occasion or opportunity to travel abroad to sing. The United States is oversaturated with singers, and it's very hard to get identified and to get some visibility here in the States. In Europe, the opportunities are open, and they're more open for performers to sing on a weekend moonlight occasion like I did. I was able to support my family on a moonlight occasion of singing periodically for 3 days a week only and teaching school at the same time. So what I'm saying is that I intend to resurrect that ability in music. I intend to infusing it and bring it back to life. It's not just something I used to do. It's a gift that's within me. And if I pulled all 10 of my other sisters together, I'm sure we can go on stage and perform like we did when we were in high school. But the main thing is that you have got to have the desire, and you've got to know that this truly is a gift that was given to you by your ancestors, and you must cultivate it and develop it. Now, what do I want to tell you about the business industry? Most of all, I want to tell you that a shrewd businessman is very important, but you cannot get out here in this business and think that you are going to leave business unattended to. The business has to come first, and it's very important as an entertainer that you must understand that you're carrying a message. And you must make sure that the message you're carrying is just not about anything. It has to have a purpose and a meaning. And you can't be allowing everyone to force you on stage just to sing anything. You've got to have some morals and ethics about what it is you're doing. Music can be a great opportunity of enjoyment, and therapeutic music for healing is another thing that we must look at. Music was intended for healing. It is a universal language. It heals across the nation. You can heal any heart, broken heart, with music, and it is a soothing mechanism, not to mention the great instruments that are out there that can assist you in what you do. I'd like to say to you that you have been listening to Maddie Harvey's baby sister, who is coming at you this evening, bringing you some opportunities to get into the business of entertainment, because it's a great business. It is a fantastic business. If you're a poet, get out there and possess your microphone and start utilizing your ability to write your poetry as well as do oratory and speak your poetry. And let somebody know that you are willing to get your work out there and you want to get started on. And you can come right here into the